Well, good morning and welcome to Romford Evangelical Free Church on this bright, if slightly chilly, Sunday morning. I'm pleased it's not raining as it was yesterday. If you're a visitor here, an especial welcome to you. And this morning we welcome Reverend Ian Bunce, who is from Romford Baptist Church. A number of us have connections with Main Road, so we send our greetings to Main Road back with you, and I'm sure you'll tell us a little bit about Main Road and what's currently happening there, hopefully. But I want to begin this morning with just a very brief prayer, and I imagine you might understand why, with the events in New Zealand. So let's just pray together. Father, we know that news travels so fast nowadays that events happen and we hear about them almost straight away. Sometimes there are no words for the news that we hear, and Friday perhaps was one of those situations. We know that principally it has affected people of the Muslim faith, and whatever we think about that, I think it's right that we pray for people of all faiths, and right now especially the people of Christ Church in New Zealand as they come to terms with what's happened in their midst. We pray for the souls of those who have departed through these events. We pray for the families affected. We pray especially for those who are Christians in that land and can bring your message of peace and hope to those who need to hear it, Lord. Although we're far away, we are all your creation, Lord. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, who came to save all. Amen. Well, at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, the very first verse begins with this: the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And Isaiah and others had a vision for the future, not their own vision, but one from God. And Ian will be bringing word of vision to us this morning. So let's read these words. I would like to just read the first part. It's quite a long reading, so bear with me, but I felt it was helpful and appropriate. Some of it will be familiar. And perhaps you would like to join me when it comes to the last three lines where it begins, "Nation will not take up sword." In hindsight, perhaps appropriate. Let us read together from Isaiah chapter 2. "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Well, we're going to continue our service this morning by singing two songs, the first of which, "Men of Faith," talks about singing and shouting. And if anything, it's a good reminder that we shouldn't hide our faith. We may not always feel comfortable shouting about it wherever we are, but we should be confident in the Lord as we speak of his love for us. Let's sing together, "Men of Faith," and then we'll move on to "We Want to See Jesus Lifted High."
Thank you. Don't worry, I'm not going to be dashing back and forward too much. And I booked for the music group before I was asked to leave this morning. Well, shortly I'm going to bring the notices. I thought I'd give George a week off. But first, let's just come to prayer for a minute or so. Let's pray. Father, when we think about the word vision, perhaps we think about going to the opticians, perhaps we think about corporate vision, be that where we work, where we live. The word vision in your word absolutely talks of the future. And we should indeed be looking forward, not back. But as Ian reminded me this morning, we have to look back sometimes, particularly at your word, to see where to go as we go forward. Father, we pray both in our own lives and in our lives as a church that we would be mindful of your vision for us. Often we may not be at all sure what that is, but you have a plan. Your word tells us that. Lord, help us to fulfill our part in that plan, whatever that part may be. Teach us to be willing to hear you and to act on what you say to us. That when we eventually come before you, we, as Paul did, might be able to say that we have run the race that you set before us. Lord, be with us in this coming week, and especially this morning. Speak to us as Ian brings your word to us and as he leads communion later on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up again. We're going to sing a hymn, this time from the hymn book, number 226. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew. Let's stand and sing together. Seats. Martin Ledger is going to come and lead us in our prayers, and then Nigel's going to come up and bring us God's word.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Lord and Saviour. Help us in the coming week to draw close to you and to feel your presence and guidance. We pray for those in the church that have health issues. We think of Peter Gifford, Joyce Moore, Kathy Moore, and also anyone else you know personally. Lord, we pray also for those involved in the running of the church here at Romford. Please bless and give wisdom to the deacons and the trustees, and help this week's meeting to go well and to glorify you, Lord. Please be with those doing the children work today. Help them as they bring your word to the children, and also help the children to understand your message and to open their hearts to you, Lord. Thank you for all those that are doing work in the local area to tell people about you. Please bless the work of the Scripture Union, Grace Works, Gideon's, Street and Rail Pastors, and please be with all those that are involved in the Centurion event. And we also think of those that are doing mission for you, Lord, sort of Steve Dunn, Andrew Hawkins, and Esther McDonald. Please help and be with us, Lord. Guide us in the coming week, and help us to live more like you, Lord. Amen.
This morning we're reading from John's Gospel, chapter 20, starting at verse 19 through verse 23. Quite a short reading, and even though a short reading, verse 23 I think is the real nugget that this morning many of us will be looking forward to getting a better understanding of. So, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Nigel. Shortly, Ian is going to bring us God's word. But first we're going to stand and sing a song that's quite an old one in some ways, but not old enough to be in the hymn book, "God Forgave My Sin." Right there in the title is a fantastic message, isn't there? So let's stand and sing this together, "God Forgave My Sin."
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you, and thank you for inviting me, those who did. Those who didn't might want to tell the ones who did off at the end of the service. You can decide. I bring you greetings from Romford Baptist Church, your sister church within this area where we together are seeking to make Jesus known throughout Romford and beyond. For those of you who don't know me, so my name is Ian Bunce and I am the minister team leader at Romford. My background is in church planting. I started my ministry back in 1989 in a pub in South Yorkshire, planting a church amongst the most poorest town in Britain at the time, in a town called Mexborough, which very few people have heard, just at the end of the miners' strike. And it was probably one of the best times of my ministry, and one of the most real, as you were engaging with some really needy people. Since then, I've been involved in another three church plants, led a larger church, and been what we have in Baptist life as regional minister, held national and international ministries, and now find myself leading the church here in Romford and loving it. I have to say that in case anybody feeds anything back, don't I? But we are here. Oh, I should have said I'm married to Vicky and I have two children, David and Rebecca. Rebecca, who is lives in Oxfordshire and is a debt collector. Don't argue with her. And my son, who is a church planter and refugee worker in Vienna. And he has custody of my granddaughter. And I don't see her very often. I'm not at all bitter. I'm going out to see her next month. Let's look at the Word of God. And in John chapter 20, this very short passage, and I hope I don't disappoint because I'm not actually majoring on verse 23, but we'll see where we get there. But this very short passage, yet is one of the most important things that Jesus talked to his disciples about. Just the scene is you have here frightened disciples. They'd seen Jesus crucified. They are not happy people. And therefore, what they have done is they've gone and locked themselves in a room because they are fearful of the Jews. That's what it says. On the evening of the first week, then the disciples together, they locked in with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They were frightened people. They were frightened people because they'd seen the power of opposition against the work of God. And what that could do, little did they realize at the time, of the significance of the death of Christ. At this time, they are frightened. They haven't got comprehension. They haven't got the full understanding. And so they live in this, or they're hidden away in this upper room. And they are there because they do not know what to do. Many of us live in fear. We live in fear because we're afraid maybe to speak out of about our faith, because in our workplace, in our everyday life, we're going to get ridiculed for it. And so we lock ourselves away and lock our faith away. Others are locked in because we're afraid that somebody might find out what we're really like, rather than that wonderful viewpoint we tell everybody that we're perfect. What if somebody actually finds out I can't do my job? What if somebody actually finds out that actually I'm not as nice as I make out? What if actually somebody finds out what I really do in my spare time? What if? We're all, in many ways, locked into something. During Lent this year, I'm reading through a book about household objects and how household objects can help us think about the Lenten call. And the other day, it's about keys and how we put everything securely away. We want everything to be secure. And so we want ourselves to be secure. And maybe we've secured ourselves even our Christian faith, even our very selves, away from the people we know. We've locked ourselves in. The disciples have done that. People do that today. And they're there because they're fearful of the Jews, they're fearful of those who might come and get them, they're fearful of the other. Don't forget, Peter had run away. He denied knowing Jesus because of fear. The power of fear. I wonder what fear we face today. Into this locked-in room, where the disciples had got themselves secure for fear of the Jews, into your locked-in area of your life, Jesus comes and stands. Yes, they kept the world out. Yes, they kept the Jews out. Yes, they kept the enemy out. But they can't keep Jesus out. Jesus broke in to that locked-in room. And he came and stood amongst his frightened disciples. And he was there. And he said these words. And we need this today. As he was there, he said these words. Peace be with you. They're frightened people. Peace be with you. They locked themselves away. Peace be with you, says Jesus. Now, some of these I find when I look at Scripture is if ever an angel comes or Jesus comes and says the words, peace be with you, you're in trouble. Think about Mary. There she was, minding her own business, and an angel comes and says, peace be with you. She's going to need some kind of peace with what she's got to go through. And the same's true here of the disciples. Peace be with you. That's not a peace that means you're not going to get any noise. It's not a peace that means you're not going to get any chaos. It's not a peace that means nothing's going to go wrong in the future. It's the peace of God that even in the midst of the storm, you feel secure. It's the peace of God that even if you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you are secure. Because your peace is in the knowledge of a God who will not let you down. Do you need peace today? Do you need peace? Maybe you're going through an illness and you're struggling and you're frightened. The peace of God be with you today. Maybe you're dreading work tomorrow because you know what you've got to walk back into and you're frightened about that because you could find yourself as a lone voice. The peace of God be with you. We need to know God's peace. Back in the early 1980s, in a church down in the Promised Land, that's Devon, for those of you who are in any doubt. After all, our Father, who art in Devon. From Devon he came, helpless babe, we sing it, you know. I mean, guess where I'm from? You never know. Anyway, I was down in this church, and the preacher had finished preaching, and I felt the call of God upon me as I felt God saying, it's time for you to give your life to me. And I took this long walk from the back of a gallery in a 800-seater church right down to the front. And I gave my life to Christ. And one of the deacons came up to me afterwards. And he prayed with me. And he says, Ian, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have the worst week of your life now. What an introduction to the Christian life. But he was saying when God starts working, the devil does not like it. Oh, I needed that word. The week that followed did not disappoint. Some of the more liturgical churches will have in the middle of their communion service the sharing of the peace. Peace be with you, and also with you would be the response. And in our free church, maybe we miss something sometimes of actually that prayer upon another person. Peace be with you. Isaiah talks about how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. The good news we have to bring is that of peace. Peace. We need peace. And Jesus knew his disciples, his frightened, locked in the room disciples, more than anything else, needed their troubled minds calming. Peace be with you. And to Romford Evan, I want to say to you, peace be with you as a church. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, peace be with you. Because as we experience the peace of God, we then see the movement of God. And that sometimes we need to stop and let God take control. I love Psalm 46. Do you like Psalm 46? Yeah. God is our strength and our refuge, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Oh, we do fear so much, don't we? And at the end, it has that line, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The Good News Version translates it, stop fighting and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to learn to stop fighting the fights that are not ours to fight. And let the God of Jacob, as the psalmist said, fight for us. And maybe today, we will trust God more as we stop fighting and let God fight on our behalf. And we will step back and just know the peace that God is in control. So the first thing we find from this passage is we need peace. Passage goes on. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. John 20, verse 20, the disciples get 20/20 vision. They see clearly. They start to understand. They start to believe that their Saviour, their Lord, is not dead, but is alive. Just as they had heard. Just as the women had told him, them. Just as the early disciples in the tomb who had rushed to see this empty tomb. They now understood. He is alive. They get 20/20 vision. Seeing Jesus, meeting Jesus, knowing Jesus changes perception. They no longer need to worry. They're not frightened because they see Jesus. And although we do not see him in the form the disciples did, we know that he will not ever leave us and he will be with us. Where are you looking for answers to life's problems? Where are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking in the right places? Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he can be found, while he is near. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, seek first the kingdom of God. Again, I go to a more liturgical response, and I find myself funny doing this because I don't normally do liturgy. I'm a Baptist, we can't read. But if you go to the Northumbria Community Daily Office, it begins with these words, one thing I have asked of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Do you see that word repeating, seek? And then it goes on, who is it you seek? We seek the Lord our God. Do you seek him with all your heart? Amen, Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your soul? Yeah, amen, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your mind? Lord, amen, Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your strength? Amen. Christ, have mercy. Vision 2020 is seeing and discovering Christ for ourselves. As the disciples saw Jesus, their life was put the right way up. And maybe for us today, we need to stop and say, I want to see Jesus. We sung earlier, we want to see Jesus lifted high. But let's stop. We want to see Jesus in our lives. The power of Jesus to transform lives is no different today to what it was 2,000 years ago. It still puts life the right way up. It still takes away the past and gives a new future. It still gives a new perspective. And the disciples, when they saw Jesus, they had vision 2020. They could see clearly. It all began to make sense. Have you experienced Jesus coming into your locked up room? Or are you still locked in, powerless? If you are feeling locked in, I want to invite you to invite Jesus and open your minds that you may see him. Because Jesus will come into any situation we invite him into. And he will do amazing things. Will you invite Jesus into your locked-in room that you may see him afresh? So from the locked-in room to the invitation of Jesus coming in, we then see Jesus giving the disciples a vision for their lives going forward. And we need vision 2021. If you look at John chapter 20, verse 21, it says these words, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. To understand that, we need to understand the Father sending Jesus, don't we? Well, we could do a whole day study on what it means for the Father to send Jesus. But I understand you might have some burnt roast sacrifices in your oven if I go on too long. But let's just quickly look at John's Gospel, John chapter 1. We see the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then verse 14, the Word became a human being, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is God sending his Son, Jesus, into a lost world, a broken world. And he sent Jesus away from his glory and all that he deserved into a broken world. And Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I send you. Oh, it's so easy to stay in our nice, comfortable places. It's so easy to stay in the places where we would love to be. But Jesus is saying, no, go. Go into all the world. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And there's no places that we should not go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way we're going to transform people. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you into the neighborhood. Of course, our favorite verse from John's Gospel, John 3:16, you all know that, don't you? God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then it says, and many Christians forget this bit, he did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Now, as I listen to so much of the Christian media, as I listen to so many Christians, and I watch Christians on Facebook and other social media that you get on your phones and computers, for those of you who've just lost track of what I'm talking about for a minute. But anyway, when I look at those moments, I just get despaired as people, Christians, are condemning everybody. They're lost. They're lost for want of a saviour. And as the Father sent Jesus, not to condemn but to save the world, we go with the saving message of Christ Jesus. I'm so excited at the moment. Am I allowed to? No, I bet I'll get excited. I'm in church. But I am excited because we have baptismal services coming up. I love baptismal services. I love it when I hear the testimonies of what God has done. I love it when I hear that God has transformed lives. And you know, I never tire of those stories that Jesus is still transforming lives today. But if we do not go, people will not come. Jesus didn't say to the world, come to church. He said to the church, go to the world. But we seem to wait for people to come. Go, said Jesus. As the Father sent me, so I send you. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come to bring life and life in all its fullness. And as the Father sent me, so I send you. We are going to take the gospel of message of life and life in all its fullness. There's so much more we could see in this passage as we look at it. But I wonder, what would it take for every church and each member to see the Great Commission as a lifestyle choice and not a spare time activity? You see, when we talk about mission, it's something we do. We ought to do a mission. We ought to do an event rather than actually. We are mission. We are free samples of Jesus wherever we go every day. We shouldn't rely on waiting for us, the church, to do an event to tell people about Jesus. We should be doing it as we walk and talk. We're free samples of Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Offer your whole lives as living sacrifices. Not just offer your spare time when you have finished work and you've finished feeding the family and you've had enough sleep. Offer your whole lives of living sacrifices. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Our worship's not what we've done this morning. Our worship's what we bring from the Monday to Saturday that's just gone. And the offering we took up this morning may be our money, but in there should also go our lives. I think the people carrying the bags might struggle if we put ourselves in, but I wonder if we should put more of ourselves into the offering that God can use for more of our lives. Because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And so, we need sight, we need peace, we need vision, but we need help. We need help, don't we? Being a Christian's hard work. Forget those who said, become a Christian, live happily ever after. It's a high calling. To the evangelist who said, become a Christian, you'll have no problems. No, that's not true. We can only do it with God's help. And as Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The power, the breath of God working through his believers. That God is in control. I am a hopeless passenger in a car. I like to be behind the driver's seat. I am dreading the day of self-driving cars. I just don't trust any computer that much. My home computer crashes so much. Why would I put it in front of a car? But God, through Christ, breathing the Holy Spirit, is saying, let me take the driving seat. Let me take control. Let me be in command and use you in your everyday lives. Because we can't do it in our own strength. As Jesus said, as the Father sends me, so I send you. He breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit, that we can live our lives not as locked in people for fear of the authorities, but as free people empowered by God with a clear vision of who God is, to take the greatest message that the world needs to hear out into the world in his power and strength. I cannot make anyone a Christian. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I cannot bring anyone to faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But with God's Spirit working through me, God can accomplish so much through my life. And I want to ask you, who's in control? Who's in control? The disciples were frightened. They were locked in for fear. Jesus came and brought them the message of peace. And they saw him. And as they saw him, they saw clearly. He commissioned them to go into the world as the Father had sent him, so he sending them and gave them the gift of the power of God, by which they could live and do God's mission in their everyday lives. And I will mention that complicated verse. You see, as the Holy Spirit works through us, and we minister in the way Christ ministered, there will be times, as Jesus was often challenged about, where he said to someone, your sins are forgiven. And they got upset. Who could forgive sins but God? Well, look at that verse in context. It's God-powered people with the gift of discernment, speaking into the life of the lost and telling the lost, you can be forgiven if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you live as Jesus longs for you to live. We spend so much time wanting to condemn. But today, it's a day when in a moment we're going to break bread and share wine. We recognize the sacrifice upon the cross. And if we think there's anybody who can't be forgiven, we're asking the question, did Jesus do enough? There's a story. And after this story, I'll just round up in a moment. But I want to just tell this story because a pastor's son had fallen in love with a young woman who had recently come into the church. This woman had become a Christian and was baptized, but she had a very colourful past. Let's just leave it like that, shall we? It was a colourful past. But the pastor's son had fallen in love with him, and the church got very upset, and the church called a meeting. Is this the kind of girl our pastor's son should be marrying? And the pastor's son and his fiancée by then were in the church as the church were debating this, and they were being cruel. Do you know what she used to be like? Do you know what she's done? And they were listing everything. And the church were getting more and more convinced this was not the sort of person that the pastor's son should be marrying. And then a while later, the pastor's son stood up and said, what is on trial here is not my fiancée. It's Christ himself. We're asking, was Jesus' death and resurrection enough to forgive this person or not, and to give her a new beginning? And I want to say to us all, whatever our past, whatever our hiddenness, whatever our locked inness, because of Jesus, it's enough. We can be forgiven. Jesus did it all. He paid the price for all. And anyone who puts their trust in him and seeks forgiveness, don't get excited, please. Anyone who trusts in Jesus and puts their forgiveness in him can have a brand new beginning. Their past is gone. Their life is to come. Are you in a locked-in room? Invite Jesus in. Do you need peace? He speaks into your life, peace. Do you need forgiveness? He says you are forgiven. Do you need purpose? He says, look, this is who I am. Now, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And I'm giving you the power of the Spirit by which to do it. The question is, will we let him? Will we let him? Amen. As we come to break bread, we're going to sing again, who has held the ocean in his hands? Thank you. Lord, as we go from this place, help us to make a difference to the world in which we go. Go with you on fire in our lives. We pray this for your glory. Amen. We sing our final hymn, which is number 545. Be my vision. Lord, be my vision, supreme in my heart. So many different versions of this hymn that I'm going too much from memory. But stand as we sing. So a blessing. May you this morning have and experience the deep peace of God who loves you, the God who delights over you, holds you in his arms and sings love songs over you. May you this morning experience the risen Lord, Jesus afresh. May he break into your lockdown life and give you a vision of himself. May you this morning know that where you are in your everyday life, that God has called you to be there and to make a difference and to be salt and life, that God can use you in that place. May you know this morning the filling of God's power, so that as powerful sent ones, the places we inhabit will be transformed for the glory of God. May you never say, "I am only," again. But truly know you have a purpose in your everyday life, not just at church. And may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. Amen.